Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to see everybody here on this, 22nd? Yes, 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. And we are so glad that you're here with us together in worship. And we are glad that we have the opportunity to get to hear the choir this morning singing and just be able to be together as God's people and gather in the name of Christ and receive encouragement from His Word. And a little bit later on, we're going to be looking at who or what taps into your deep-seated fears about the future. And we're going to talk more about that as we continue our series dealing with fears and anxieties and worries, especially this time about the future. And we also want to welcome those that may be listening online later on for the service. So, well, let's stand and join together and sing our Gloria Patria.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Well, let's join together for our call to worship in the bulletin. Come into God's presence. Come into God's glory.
God's glory is all around.
As Christ came before us,
we come to worship and to pray.
As Christ came to serve,
we bring our humble hearts.
Come into God's presence. Well, let's join together and worship the Lord this morning by turning in our hymn books, if you'd like to, to 705. I'll Fly Away This Morning, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die,
there for our opening hymn. Sing into our hearts, Creator God, as you sang your glory into creation. Speak to our minds with wisdom of old. Draw us close to you that we remember who we are and whose we are. Amen. And you may be seated this morning, and the choir is going to be coming and to sing for us this morning. This morning.
Paradise. presented this idea, there's not going to be any crying, no suffering, no hunger, no pain. It's just going to be a great place to be. And that seems to be the idea that we see. And part of following Jesus is so that we can be there with Him one day. And so we, as you grow up, some of you were already baptized. Some of you have not been baptized yet. And, yep, well, there's a couple of you, yeah. And there's some that were baptized when they're younger. And in a few weeks, we're going to be doing confirmation in the service. And you're going to get to see the kids that want to be baptized. And they're going to be baptized. And then there's some that maybe were baptized when they were real little, but they just don't remember it. And we're going to kind of confirm them in their faith, where they'll say, I believe in Jesus. He's my Savior and He's my Lord. And kind of make that confession that they want to follow Jesus. And Jesus talks about how when we do that, then when we die, we go to be with Jesus. And that's such a cool thing. But we get tiny little glimpses in life. We see a lot of things. I mean, if we fall down, we get hurt, don't we? And we bleed. And we're like, you know. But could you imagine one day you might fall down and you never hurt anymore? That would be kind of cool, wouldn't it? Well, that seems to be what heaven is like and what God has in store for us. And so we put our trust in Him and we follow that. We get baptized by making our profession of faith. And then we try to live for Jesus every day. Now, you do that now. But when you're ready, you can be baptized too. And I know some of you already are baptized. I think you two are already been baptized. But you don't fully realize that. And one day you'll get to confirm in that, where you get to know more about what happened and everything. That's what's going to happen in a few weeks. And so we just trust God about the future and what's coming down the road. We just trust God. Because we're in God's hands always. Okay? All right. You guys can head on downstairs.
And we're going to have an opportunity to give you to share your joys and concerns. And then we're going to take some time to pray over all of this that's going out in the college boxes and the little crosses that we're going to have go out to. All of them. And so we want to, we'll give you a chance here in a moment here. I should have set this up a little sooner, but we'll kind of do that here in a minute. There we go. And so we'll just begin with our joys and concerns then this morning. Somebody want to share this morning? Yes.
Unspoken
this morning. Okay. Somebody else? Yes. Unspoken. Okay. Someone else? Yep. Unspoken, okay. Somebody else, unspoken, okay. That's
Emily Randall, who just had a baby, her first
one. Oh my gosh.
She actually only Harper, sorry. Emily Randall.
What a great joy there. I haven't heard that name in a long time, but I had her in school. And yes, Emily Randall, okay. Somebody else, yes. Wow.
Now I just got to wait to see what's next.
Good. I know we're hoping that a good report's going to come out of all that. And it's good to see you back, Don. I wanted to ask you, did you get a deer or anything?
Haven't went yet.
Oh, I thought you were. That's where I thought you were for a few weeks there. somebody else, joy or concerns? I want to write this down while I'm thinking about it. We want to remember the Taylor family. Barney lost his brother to cancer. If I remember right, correct me if I'm wrong, I think when he found out, he was already like in late stages of it, and it was really bad already. And Yeah, so we want to remember the Taylor family this morning. Anybody else? Yes.
My boss's daughter, Kayla, is having ACL and meniscus surgery tomorrow. She ripped her knee apart.
That's a lot. Ah, okay, yeah. So we want to remember Kayla in our prayers for this surgery that's upcoming. Someone else? Somebody else?
Barney has gout in both of his feet.
Yes, thank you for mentioning that. I got like umpteen texts yesterday, and we were at the UC football game, and I just couldn't respond. But we want to remember Barney also, who's has a gout flare up again, and so we want to remember him. That's going to make it tough with his what happened with his brother and everything. Somebody else? Anybody else this morning? We want to continue lifting up some of the others for Jody's sister. Do we know yet when she may have that biopsy?
November 4th.
Okay, November 4th. So we want to remember Jill and praying maybe it's just some scar tissue or something else. I don't know. We'll see. And but in November there, she's going to have that biopsy. And we want to continue lifting up Sherry in our prayers, who's battling cancer. And also Katie, Renee, and Kim, those three all battling breast cancer. And a lot of those names are all going to go on the monthly calendar coming up here in November. So anybody else then? Yes. Could I get a first name?
Sherry.
Okay, another Sherry.
It's
Oh, Jerry. Sorry. Yes. Okay. Definitely want to pray for him and for strength and through all of that. And anybody else then? Okay, we want to take a few moments here, and I'm going to, if you would like, come up. You're more than welcome. We've done this in the past where some that want to come up want to maybe just touch a box or some things, and I'll put the little crosses that are going to go out. We've done this all before, that'll go out to our college kids and give you a chance if you'd like to when I start praying, and you can come up and place your hands on some of those things and ask God's blessing on them, and I'll do that too. But before we get to that point, she's going to play, and it'll give you a chance to pray there in your seats, and then you can start making your way up if you'd like to. Like to come up, you could make your way up now. Lord, we just thank you for the wonderful weather we've been having and the joy and the beauty and the sunshine. And Lord, as we send these college boxes off today, we thank you for your presence that will go with them and your blessing that will be with all of them. And Lord, as the young people receive those at their campuses, Lord, I just pray that if they are struggling, if they're having a difficult time, may these boxes bring joy and blessing to their heart. And may they be reminded that through those little crosses and these packages, that they're not alone and that there are people that love them and care about them. And may they experience your grace and love most of all when they receive them. And Lord, we're thankful for that today as we ask that in Jesus' name. And Lord, we want to lift up the other needs this morning and that have been mentioned, Lord. We think of Emily and we rejoice with that new little baby. Lord, we lift up the others that have been mentioned. We think of Kayla, who's going in for surgery this week, that you would just guide and direct and lead there. We pray for Jill as she goes in for the biopsy in November, Lord. We just pray for a good report, and we're just asking for that, God, and that it won't be cancerous, but it'll be something else that can be taken care of. We pray for Jerry this morning, who's going through treatments for bone cancer. We ask for your healing touch, your grace and strength for him. We lift up Barney today, who with this flare-up, Lord, we just ask for your healing touch for him. We lift up Sherry and Katie and Renee and Kim, who are also going through treatments and battling cancer, and quite a few, Lord, on our monthly list, that prayer list, God, that also are going through treatments and for cancer. God, we just ask for your healing touch, your healing strength and grace for each one of them today. And for faith, Lord, when they feel discouraged through all, that you'll just let them know that there are people praying for them that love and care about them. And so we're thankful for that today. Lord, I lift up the Taylor family with the loss of this loved one. God, we pray for your peace, your comfort, and your grace today for them. Lord, we lift up these four unspoken needs today, and maybe there's some others that came in today, maybe carrying a burden, maybe something they couldn't share. God, we just ask for your presence, for your hand to be with all of them, and that you administer as only you can do, granting them grace and peace in their situation, and whatever that may fully involve. God, you know each need there, and we're thankful for that. And we thank you for all that you're doing in our lives, all of your goodness. We thank you that love is more powerful than fear in our lives, and that, God, you are greater, and you remind us so often to fear not and to not worry or fret over all the things that we face in life, which is so easy to do. But you remind us to trust in you through everything that we face. And so we're thankful for your presence with us. We ask your blessing upon the rest of this time and the service, Lord, as we break the bread of your word, as the young people are being taught and doing their other activities downstairs, that you will just oversee us and watch over us and speak to us and encourage us and send us forth out in the faith, Lord, that we might be a blessing to others. As we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior this morning, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us. Amen. Thank you so much for praying with us this morning. And now as we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving, once again, thank you for your faithfulness. And while I'm speaking to that, let me just say again, thank you to not only those of you that give, but also to those of you that give in other ways through service and ministry and different things around our community of faith here that you're involved with and everything. It just makes a difference. And I just thinking about when we were able to fill up that little breakfast thing at the school for all those elementary kids. What a blessing that was. So I'm thankful for that. So as our ushers come, God bless you as you give today. Let's join together there for our prayer of dedication. Gracious God, may your glory and grace shine through everything we give, everything we say, and everything we do. In loving gratitude we pray. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Well, we have several passages that we are going to look at here this morning as we look at from Luke and Paul's letter to the Galatians and then 2 Timothy 1:7 there, which happens to be the verse up on the PowerPoint there right now. Okay, let's begin there. Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 45. As Jesus came to the city and observed it, he wept over it. He said, "If you only knew on this of all days the things that lead to peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. The time will come when your enemies will build fortifications around you, encircle you, and attack you from all sides. They will crush you completely, you and the people within you. They won't leave one stone on top of another within you, because you didn't recognize the time of your gracious visit from God. And then Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 23, you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only don't let this freedom be an opportunity to indulge your selfish impulses, but serve each other through love. All the law has been fulfilled in a single statement: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour each other, be careful that you don't get eaten up by each other. I say, be guided by the Spirit, and you won't carry out your selfish desires. A person's selfish desires are set against the Spirit, and the Spirit is set against one's selfish desires. They are opposed to each other, so you shouldn't do whatever you want to do. But if you are being led by the Spirit, you aren't under the law. The actions that are produced by the selfish motives are obvious, since they include immorality, corruption, lewdness, idol worship, sorcery, enemy makings, strife, zeal, fury, status seeking, divisions, factions, envies, drunkenness, carousing, and other things like that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against things like this. And then 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen and amen. Well, I think I've shared this before. I don't know how long ago it was, but a mother was preparing pancakes for her sons, Kevin, who's 5, and Ryan, who's 3. The boys began to argue who would get the first pancake. Their mother saw an opportunity for a moral lesson. If Jesus were sitting here, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake. I can't wait. Kevin turned to his younger brother and said, Ryan, you be Jesus. I want to talk to you this morning, and this is a very different kind of message that I don't know if I've ever preached anything quite like this before, but I want to talk to you about the fear of the future. And here's why the anxieties, I see it in the kids at school, and the worries and all of those things. I've never heard more kids say, I don't even know if I'm going to have a job or be able to live on my own one day. And here's the reason I want you to think a little bit about this, and you might understand a little bit what I'm saying. When growing up, I remember hearing, especially in elementary, because I can't remember, I'm thinking it was 3rd, 4th grade, I don't know what grade I was in. I remember us doing a drill where we had to get underneath our desks, and it was related to the Cold War between the former Soviet Union and the United States. And some of you that are older than me, you may remember those. Some of you that are younger than me, you probably don't remember anything quite like that. And I remember once in a while hearing concerns about the Cold War and Vietnam and other issues. Some of you may remember that. But I want you to hear this. I've never seen or heard what I see and hear today. We live in a world and society that's inundated with fear regarding the future. Now, some of you will remember this. I had to read it my freshman year in high school. But society has talked about these things in various ways through books and movies. How many of you had to read George Orwell's 1984? Yes. How many of you have ever saw the 1980s movie War Games that dealt with the Soviet Union, the possibility of nuclear war between the Soviet Union and the United States? Some of you, although these are rated R, some of you, have you ever seen the movies Terminator? About the whole idea, and we are dealing with that right now, about AIs taking over and becoming conscious and taking over the world and all that. That is being argued and debated right now because of what's going on. How many of you, and this will probably be a greater number of hands, how many of you read the Left Behind books series? How many of you saw the recent movie? I have not seen it. I don't know if I really want to see it. Civil War. All this stuff, all these apocalyptic and dystopian visions are the stuff of maybe summer blockbusters, movies, and best-selling novels. But here's the thing, they reveal humanity's deep-seated fears about the future. And we see and hear those fears exploited and propagated in so many ways today. And so as we think about this, I'm going to look at this a little bit different. I'm not going to just talk about heaven and all of that. I want to talk about how we deal with this on a day-by-day basis right now where we're living. First thing this morning, beware of individuals feeding our fears. Beware of individuals feeding our fears. Individuals with power and influence has stoked people's fears throughout history. I mean, I remember reading about that in church history. You know who was, don't take me wrong if you came out of this, but do you know who were masters of this in ancient, well, not ancient times, through church history? Is the Catholic Church. They used to threaten people with hell and this and that and couldn't be forgiven and everything else if they didn't follow certain rules and regulations. And the church has done that. And not just, I don't want to just pick on the Catholic, the Protestants have done it too through history. And I'll say more about that, but leaders, rulers, politicians, TV preachers, radio personalities, conspiracy theorists, which brings us up into the internet age that we live in. And then even certain preachers and churches have done this through the decades. This really bothered me. And I've heard of some preachers and Christians who are hoping for World War III because they think it'll bring Jesus back. So there was a book at my grandma's up in the upstairs that I found that was written in the late 1800s that was talking about the second coming of Christ. Guess what? They were facing those fears even back then. They thought at the beginning of World War I, oh, Jesus is going to come back. At the beginning of World War II, Jesus is going to come back. It didn't happen that way. And all people got was killed. And nations were overturned. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, we had to do some things about some of the stuff that was going on. But here's another one. This floored me. I found this out this week. Do you know right now you can buy a reinforced subterranean condominium built to withstand or mitigate everything from super volcanoes, solar flares, earthquakes, tsunamis, pandemics, asteroids, nuclear bombs, nuclear meltdowns, biological chemical disaster for a cool $3 million. Did you see how fast I talked through that? You know what it reminds me of? And some of you are going to remember this. And when I read that, my mind immediately went to this. It reminded me of those wealthy people that spent millions of dollars in the late 80s and 90s on cryo tubes to freeze their bodies in the hopes of finding a cure of what they were facing or dying from, or maybe that one day we would overcome death. Here's what I want you to see about all this. Overblown fears have resulted in bad outcomes through history. Every time individuals, rulers, leaders, whatever you want to say, have stirred up fears in people, it always ends up going bad. In our reading from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is addressing a group of zealots. This group was called the Sicarii. That word means dagger men. They were known to have little small knives that they would go up and kill Romans. And they thought that they were going to bring about the kingdom of God by doing this. This is what Jesus is addressing. These groups fed the fears of Judeans, and they began to act in these violent ways in the name of God, like modern day terrorists. And Jesus in our reading is lamenting the outcome of their actions when he says all of a sudden you're going to be surrounded and all of these things are going to happen. And he's speaking of what we know from Josephus and others of what happened in 70 CE, the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. And this kind of fear and hate have led to acts all through history, violence, corruption, exploitation, persecution, genocide, war. It's almost like it's a self-imposed prophecy because our fears get the best of us and then we go out and act in those ways. And fear can lead to devastating things when it's exaggerated, uninformed, and used to manipulate people. But we are called to a higher standard. If you don't believe that, read 1 Thessalonians. Because Paul, and even 2 Thessalonians, Paul addresses some of those issues. What are we to do? If we're to beware of those kind of things, what do we do instead? We live as people of the Spirit. And I want you to see a couple things here. Living courageously entails countering our fears of the future in the power, or walking in the power of God's Spirit. Listen to what Paul told Timothy, this young pastor in this church in Ephesus, who was concerned about things that were going on in their day. For when God gave us his Spirit, it was not fear that we received, but power, love, and wise judgment. Power, love, and wise judgment. Paul reminds Timothy in the church that we didn't receive fear or cowardness with God's Spirit, but instead we received a powerful courage, a love that drives out fear, which 1 John talks about, and wise judgment in the days that we live in. Or as sometimes the New Testament writers talk about, discerning the days that we are living in. First of all, walking in the power of Spirit. And then the second thing is we countering our fears by walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Paul calls the church to be guided by the Spirit so she won't carry out her selfish desires. And he lists all those selfish desires, and he does that in some of his other letters that were known throughout the Roman Empire. Actions based in fear and hate, which are contrary to the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit. Let me say them again. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And Paul says that living according to these kinds of things involves alternatives to fear, anxiety, hate, and violence. Now, let me just kind of close out by saying this. I believe we're called to address the world's fears. as people of the Spirit, not as people driven by fear, hate, and violence. Now, let me just say this. I know when I am driven by fear, I don't walk in love. And I don't walk in the fruit of the Spirit. And no matter how frightful the future may seem, remember, God is still God, we are still God's people, and we can live courageously in the power and the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. And it's something I shared with the kids there. I want to say this. Where did Jesus say, "Today you will be with me in paradise"? It's when he was hanging on the cross and the rebel insurrectionist beside him said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And we sang a little bit about some of our hymns. And when we sing our last hymn this morning, "Shall we gather at the river, the beautiful, beautiful river," that's paradise. That's the future. That's the hope of what God has in store for us. Because Scripture doesn't lead us to indifference, but shows us how to respond to our fear of the future with courage and hope in the power of the Spirit. Amen and amen. Well, let's just take a few moments and greet one another and share that blessing. And then we'll close out there with that hymn, "Shall We Gather at the River?" This morning, 695, we're going to do three verses instead of all four.
Shall we gather at the river where bright angels' feet have trod, with its crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God? Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Ere we reach the shining river, river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God.
Well, let's join together for our benediction. Go now to serve in love. Go with the blessing of God to be a blessing to the world. Amen.